Romans 7. This morning I'm going to talk about the Spirit's life. What life? The Spirit's life. The Bible said, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit." Let me see who's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Put your hand in the air. Amen. So every believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, what should happen in here? The Spirit's work. The Spirit should have reign because this is His temple. Amen? Remember the temple in Israel? Only holy things happen in the temple. They treated the temple with care and precision because it was holy unto the Lord. It was set apart for the service of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. So now we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn our Bibles over to Romans 7, and we're going to go from verse 22. And I'm going to ask us to stand one more time, and we're going to read, and then we're going to sit. Amen. Because at faith, we honor the word. Amen. What you honor, you can draw from. Remember that. What you honor, you can draw from. If you honor someone, it is likely you could get a blessing. It's a principle in life. Amen. And all scriptures are given by from God, the inspiration of God. So this is a privilege we have to look to the word of God. All right. Now it says, verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God." Now let me give you a little context. This was Paul writing to Jews in Rome. So he's using terms like law. So you will see law being used in an interchange fashion. The law of the flesh, the law of the mind, and then the law of God, right? So here he's saying, "I delight in the law," because the Jews at this point, they followed what? The law. But Jeremiah 31 tells us that I will give you a new covenant. And what? A new 31:31, beautiful scripture. Go and read those couple verses. Amen. He said, "I will give you a new covenant." He didn't say, "I'll give you a new law." Right? A new covenant. And this covenant is the covenant of the Spirit. "In the last days, I will pour my Spirit." Somebody say, "I'm receiving from the Spirit." Say, "I'm receiving from the Spirit." Say, "I'm a funnel. Lord, you could pour into me. Lord, you could just destroy because my funnel is wide open." You know, this morning I was putting some oil in my car and I did not have a funnel. You know what happened? Some fell on the outside. But if I had a funnel, everything would have went inside. That's why I tell you, be a funnel. So when God is ready to open everything, when He's ready to pour, everything comes in. Say, "I'm not missing nothing." Come on, say, "I'm not missing nothing." Glory! Hallelujah! Jesus. So He says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the," what man? Which man? Good. So we're going to see a fight today. Somebody said there's a fight going on. There's a battle going on. Tell somebody. There's a battle going on. Now, you guys are all telling me, but I said, tell somebody. Say, there's a battle going on. Yes. So he said, "I delight with the inward man, with the spirit man," right? But look at verse right after it says now, "But I see another law," or another reality. I see another reality. On the inside, I want to please God. On the inside, I want to serve God. On the inside, I want to live for Jesus. I want to be used by God. On the inside, I really want to do what God says to do. I really wish I could do it. Anybody with me this morning? Yeah, tell somebody the fight is real. It's real, man. Listen, it's real in these streets, all right? Not only in the hood, but right here in the church. Because the devil is messing with some of us as we're even reading the word. He's bringing stuff to your mind and reminding you what you got to do when you go home, what you need to fix when you get out of church. He don't want you to draw. But this morning, we're going to learn a thing or two. Amen? Now, 23 says, I see another law or another reality in my members, meaning my body, meaning the way I behave, the way I carry out things, the way I live, the way I relate with people, the things I indulge in, the practices that I have. It is contrary to the law of God. Oh, my God. Warring, somebody said warring. Against the law of my mind. So there's another battle going on there. There's one in my mind. There's one I desire to do. And then there's one in my body. Yeah. But in my inner man, in my spirit now, I want to please God. So tell somebody, three battles are happening. Because if you follow your mind, you're in trouble. If you follow your body feeling sometime, you're in trouble. If you follow what everybody's doing, you're in trouble. But if you follow what God is telling you to do, you're in the blessed place. Amen? Praise God. Now, and bringing me, now, look at this now. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. So Paul is saying, I want to serve God. I want to please God. I want to live for God. But there's another battle going on. There's in my body and in my mind. There's another fight that is taking place that is pulling me away from what God says I should do. How I should live. Anybody ever had a struggle here? Anybody ever had a weakness? Anybody ever found themselves finding and doing something you should not have done? Yes! Bringing me into captivity. Meaning it is bringing me under its control. Under its control. I am now held captive by sin or by the worldly living. Let me break it down to you now. The things that I shouldn't do, that's what I find myself doing. Anybody can bear witness? Yes. Good. We're all alive and well in here. We're all real. But look what happened. It brings me into captivity of the law of sin or the reality of sin or the oppression of sin, which is in my members, my body. And look at this verse. And I'm going to speak to every child of God today. I don't want to ever hear you declare this verse over your life because we're going to fix it today. Look what it says. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? What brings death? Sin brings death. What brings death? Sin brings death. I said sin brings death. What did Christ bring? Christ brings life. Good. Pause. Now, but look at the next verse, what it says. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, who did me for that? I thank who? God. Who sent Jesus? God. Who sent him? God. For God so loved the world that he what? Give. He sent Jesus to die for me. Amen? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, next verse. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God. And with the flesh, the law of sin. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray, Spirit of God, that you'll just breathe on it. In the name of Jesus. And I pray the truth of your word will translate to our hearts and our minds. And it will shift us and move us to a greater understanding of who you are and what you have done. In Jesus' name. Amen. You might be seated. So we see here there is a battle. There is a fight for your attention. There is a war for your what? Your affection. Hello? There is a war for your affection. There is a war for your commitment. There is a war for your conformation. The law of sin seeks to conform you to the image of sin and the image of death. But Jesus came that we might have what? Life. Now go there yet. Hold on. Paul says he shared the struggle that he was having because he's speaking to Jews. He's trying to help them. He's trying to show them God's plan, how it unfolded through the ages. And now we are not at the point where you need to hold on to the past, to the old covenant. But it's time for you to transition out of the old covenant and come into the law and the life of the Spirit, or the reality of the Spirit. So then he says, oh wretched man. He's making a statement. More wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of death? But watch what he says next. We always use these. You see, sometimes we get into religion. I'm a wretched sinner. I'm just a poor old sinner. Oh God, can you deliver me? That is wrong prayer. That is wrong prayer. He says here, look at the next verse. You got to go. You see, scripture, you got to read scripture slow to get understanding of what the man is saying. What God is trying to reveal to you. He said, who will deliver me? Right after that, he says, I thank God. The man is asking for deliverance. But right after, he clears it up to his people. And he said, I thank God that what? Through. Who will deliver me? Jesus will deliver me.
Amen.
Who will deliver me from my weaknesses? Jesus will deliver me. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God helps us with our weaknesses.
Yes,
he doesn't help you stay in your weakness. When God sent Moses to Egypt, he sent them what? Help. I said, when God sent Moses to Egypt, it was help. They were begging for help. They were begging for mercy. They were begging for deliverance. And God sent help by the way of Moses. What did Moses do? He went into Israel. He went through all the trials and the tribulations. But at the end of it, he brought them out of bondage, out of slavery, out from their old life, and brought them into the promise that God had given to them 400 years before. So whenever you hear the Holy Spirit helping you, it is not him sustaining you in your mess and leaving you there. Yes, he's going to sustain you on the way out of it. But he's with you to what? Deliver you, to draw you out, to bring you out of your mess. So then, now he continues. So because he got deliverance, because now he got deliverance from the law of sin, from the reality of the body, from the weaknesses of the flesh. Watch me, church, track with me. He got delivered. Backtrack now, we were talking about the war. We were talking about the fight back and forth. But he showed us the solution to the problem. Now you're saying, I don't know if I'm saved. I want to tell you, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9, 8 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Let's go over there.
Amen.
Let's go over. I'm going to help and then we're going to come back. It says that if you, let's go to verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Where is the word? Near you. The word of God is near you. It says it is in your heart and it is in your mouth. But you got to do something with what is in your mouth. You got to do something what is in your mouth. The Spirit of God puts the word in your mouth. But it's up to you now to subdue the mind, to subdue the body, and then declare with your mouth, to conform your affections to God. Release yourself. And it says now, if you would go a step further, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, who? The Lord Jesus. Follow? If you confess with your mouth. You see what happened? Many of us come to the altar, but we never want to take that next step. We believe in our heart, but we never let the mind and the body come into subjection. There has to be a declaration. Jesus said, if you do not confess me before men, you can believe in your heart all you want. But if you never confess him before man, he said, I will not declare you before the Father. It's the same thing with forgiveness. He said, if you're not going to forgive people you see, how do you expect me to forgive you? We all hold things. We hold on to things. We hold on to things from generation to generation, and then we pass it from one generation to another generation. And then your grandmother passed it to your mom passed it to you, and it goes on and on. And you hate people who died 20, 50, 40, 80 years ago. I don't like those people. Why you don't like them? They hurt my great-grandma. And my great-grandma told my mom, my grandma about them, and my grandma told my mom, and my mom told me. So I know to stay away from those people. This time God is probably setting up those people to be a blessing to you. But because of unforgiveness, it blocks what God has planned for you to come your way. It is time to let go. I want to tell somebody in here, it is time to let go. So we got to confess with our mouth. But you believe with your heart. And what happens next? Believe in your heart that God raised him. Who is him? Jesus from the dead. So you got to believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection. You can't shortchange a thing. Some people say, I believe Jesus died, but I don't believe he raised. Better get your act together, because that unbelief will take you to hell. That's a strong unbelief. That is strong, because that's even blasphemy, because who raised him? The Spirit of God raised him. So you're telling the Spirit of God he does not have the power to do what he said he did. And what about 500 people at one time saw Jesus, hallelujah, alive in his resurrected body? So you're blaspheming the power of God with your unbelief. So you must believe that God, what he did? Raised him from the dead. And what's going to happen next? Somebody tell me. Come on, tell me, church. That's on the board. What will happen?
You will be saved.
What's going to happen?
You will be saved.
If you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, what's going to happen next?
You will be saved.
So did anybody do that?
Yeah.
How many did that?
Woo!
That's it. Amen? I got like 6 people that did it. The rest of you need to do it. Or is it going to hell? I'm sorry. I really apologize. I didn't sleep a lot last night, so I'm a little crazy. But it's true. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So even though he was born again, the war continues.
Amen.
Jesus came and delivered him, but the battle still goes on. The war continues to rage. Can I tell you? I still get a lot of bad thoughts. I get some dirty thoughts sometimes. If I tell it to you, you might leave the church. Why? Because the battle goes on. The battle goes on. How do you think big preachers end up sleeping with ladies in the church? You think that the lady just come take off her dress? Or her pants? Things are going to try to land, but don't allow it to land.
Amen.
That is one of the biggest help you can get to even get over fear. Things are going to try. There's a better way to put it. My dad told me those words, and that's what helped me. He said, things are going to try to come, but don't let it land. There we go. They're going to try to approach your landing strip, but say, not here. Put up roadblocks in the name of Jesus. Out! The same speed you're coming, go back out. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Transformation. So the battle goes on. But here Paul goes over now to chapter 8. And he concretes it. And he established truths. And he put down a cinder block. And he said, listen, man, I'm laying a foundation here that can never be uprooted. He told him the battle. He says, hey, the battle goes on. The struggle goes on. But there is hope. There is hope. Look what he says. He says, there is therefore now. He used the word therefore because he was telling them of a situation prior, but now he is saying, I have cleared it up for you. I have shared the struggle, but I want to tell you, I said, thanks be to God that sent Jesus, and because of Jesus, there is therefore now. He transitions now into the Spirit's life. His translations now to show them how they can live in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. When you come into Christ, the righteousness of God is all over you. When you come to the blood washes you whiter than snow. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no payment. But thanks be to God who gives us what? Victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's therefore now no condemnation, meaning when God looks at you, there's no fault. When God the Father looks at you, he does not see fault. He don't even remember your sins. You know, sometimes Sherry tried to tell me about my past. I tell her, God, don't remember that. Neither do I. If I'm forgiven, why should I worry? Reminiscing is crazy, right? No reminiscing. Everybody want to reminisce and look back. The Bible never tells us to look back. The only time you look back is to be grateful. You don't look back to sorrow and wallow. He said, remember where God has brought you from. But know where he is what? Taking you. Forgetting the things that are behind. And I press forward to the mark of the high calling that is in Christ. You making joke. You don't know what Christ did for us. You don't know what Christ did for us. Ask him, say, God, give me a revelation. Let me understand this thing deep down. I couldn't help myself, but he came and he helped me. And he didn't wait for me. He said, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. So, now is where the walking begins. We're talking about the war, but now we transition to the walk. Because who took care of the war? Jesus. He says, I thank God through Jesus our Lord. Then he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. When does condemnation cease? Now. The moment you accept Jesus as Lord. That's why you can receive Jesus this moment and die this moment and you're in glory. Eternal life does not begin when you die. Eternal life begins the moment you get saved. He said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Not when you die. Now. So I'll never die. Bury the body, but Pastor Sam will never die. If you don't like me, get to it. You're going to see me in heaven. Ha! And I'm going to be close to Jesus. So when you look to Jesus and his face, you'll see me right around or somewhere near him. No, I'm saying the people you don't like, you're going to see them in heaven. Yes. Living like dog and cat down here, pray that God make it, that you make it into heaven. Because he said if you don't forgive man, don't expect him to forgive you. You let it go. Tell somebody, let it go. I don't know why that keeps coming up, but God is saying somebody got to let it go. And if you can't do it, go listen to the Frozen movie. Let it go. Let it go. I can't hold it back anymore. Yeah. Three Daughters. A lot of princess movies. I like them myself. All right. So, who do not walk according to the flesh? So, after God dealt with the war, he empowers us to walk. I can't do the church thing. I cannot live the Christian life. You don't know where I'm coming from. You don't know my background. You don't know. Some of us got great lives like me. I had a great life. My mom is here. Let's give the Lord a hand. I had a great life. I grew up in church. I learned about Jesus from a tender age. I live a great life. I had plenty of love. My mom always hugged me, kissed me, pet me. I sucked breasts for 3.5 years. had a great life. Most kids get breast like 6 months and the mom's like, get off of this. But yeah, I had a great life. But most of you are coming from a past that if you look in the rear view, you're ashamed. You see regrets, a lot of it. You're saying, if I'd made some better choices, maybe I could have been better. I've hurt so many along the way. I wish I can go back and I can fix them. I can go back and undo some things I've done. But I want to tell you about the undoing power of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about the undoing power of the blood. So you don't live in regret. You don't live in the rear view. But I'm just telling you, the power is in Jesus Christ that you might be able to walk out your Christian life no matter where you are coming from. Jesus' disciples all came from different places. Luke was a doctor. Matthew was a fisher, a tax collector. Let me talk about the ones I know. There was fishermen involved. So there were so many different extremes. One robbed people. One took care of people. One cussed all the time. Different spectrums. But yet they all came. And Zealot, there was Judas the Zealot, who was a revolutionary. He was trying to kill out the Romans. This man was like locked and loaded. We know we got some bad boys and bad girls in here that probably carried guns and knives back in the day. Put up your hand. No, I'm just kidding. And they laugh. And the ones that are not laughing is them. Yes. But it doesn't matter what war you were involved before. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. That's why God can pick up a crack addict and put him on display and give him the head of the greatest church in the world to lead his people, because the work is not a work of man. The person decided that I'm going to receive Jesus in my heart and I'm not going to change my walk. I'm not going to walk anywhere, anyhow, however I'm led, however the mind says, however the body says. No, the spirit says go this way. I'm staying on the narrow path. Narrow path. This is the road. Walk ye in it. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And even when there is no road left and he says walk, you still go. Because that is the life of the spirit. The life of the spirit is the life of faith. The word is near your mouth. What is this? The word of faith. So how do you walk in the spirit? It says, no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk according, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. For the law of the spirit, or the reality of the spirit of life, who in Christ has made me what? Made me what? Come, work with me. Where's the words? Come on, guys. Get your Bible. We're still in Romans 8. Media team, do not sleep. Wake up. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in who? Jesus. In who? Jesus. Has made me what? Come on, work with me. Made me what?
Free.
Made me what?
Free.
Made me what?
Free.
Made me free. From what?
The law
of sin and death. Verse 3, guys. Put up verse 2. I want everyone to see that. There's power in seeing the word.
Yeah.
There's power. Power transforms to you when you see the word. Look at that. Verse 2, it says. All right. For the law of the spirit. The spirit of what?
Life.
Jesus said, I'm come that you might have what?
Life.
I'm come that you might have life and how? More abundantly. Amen? That's John 10:10. The law of spirit, the spirit of life in who? Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death, or from the realities of living in sin, according to sin, driven by sin and death. Sin brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. Now you're no longer spiritually dead, but you've been alive, waking up with Christ. Amen? You have been awakened by the Spirit. For what the law could not mean, now this is the old law that God gave to Moses over in Exodus. He's saying what the law could not do in that it was weak through what? What made the law weak?
Flesh,
our sin touched this thing and scarred it. You know when somebody's scarred, no matter how much you love them, they're scarred. And they can't believe you love them because they are scarred. And some women get some good men that love them and care for them. But because they were scarred by a previous relationship, or they were scarred or abused when they were young, they can never receive love. And they keep going from a man to another man to another man, thinking the man is the problem. But the problem happened way back when, and they never got delivered from it. So that thing, it affects every relationship they get into. And then they end up pushing away the one that is coming to give love. So what we have to do is receive the healing of God, that we may be healed, body, soul, and spirit, that we may then now live in the life that God has for us. Amen? Living that life that God has for you. So it was weak through the flesh. Now God did not leave us there. God saw that we had a need. Which father, which mother, see your children about to die, will not rescue them? Which mother? My mom is here. When I was drowned in my own, I was probably 3 or 4 years old. She jumped into water, not my dad. Bishop was probably thinking, should I do this? I think so. No, moms don't think. 1, 2, 3, boom. Whose nature you think you got? You don't got Eve nature, you have the nature of God. Listen to me, ladies. You have the nature of God. God put himself in both of us. 1 person couldn't contain all, so God had to share. Amen? So what did God do? God saw us dying. God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. So if somebody ever asks you, why did Jesus come into the world? Tell him sin brought him here. Because he came on the account. Meaning if somebody gives you money to go pay off somebody's debt, you're going on behalf of that person's debt. It's the debt that drives you to go take care of that situation. So now you have the payment in hand and you're about to go pay off the person's debt to free them from the bondage that they're in. It is the same way God saw that we had need. We couldn't help ourselves. He said, hey, my son, I know you were slain from the foundation of the earth. It is the fullness of time for you to go down now in sinful flesh. In the form of sinful flesh, without sin, he came to deal with sin. What he came to do? He came to deal with sin. God sent him on the account of sin. And look what he did. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, that is how we can live above sin. We do not live above sin because of our strength, but because Jesus lives in us. This life I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live by my own strength. I live by faith in Christ. So because Christ dealt with sin in the flesh, I now have opportunity to live above sin in my flesh. So it's not that you're a goody two-shoe and you're better than everybody else. But it is Christ that worketh in you. It is Christ who empowers and makes it possible. All right, we're going. Are you learning? Are we learning? Are we understanding? Amen. If you didn't understand, say no. Go watch it over. Go on YouTube. You'll see it. He condemns sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in who? In us. In you and I. When Jesus went to the cross and he died, we now, by faith, receive that grace from his death. The righteousness of God is now fulfilled in our lives. See, Paul is trying to tell him, you don't have to slay a lamb every year anymore. Last week was Yom Kippur, right? The Jews celebrate the Day of Atonement, where they go and pray for all their sins for last year. And then next year again, they're going to go and do that same thing all over again. When Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God, who went and paid, dealt with sin on my account, on your account, that we might be free, that we might be able to walk now in freedom from sin and walk free from the guilt of sin. Amen? All right. Ooh, all right. I'm working hard here. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the... Do not walk according to what? Help me, do not walk according to what? But how do we walk? Oh. The war goes on, but the price is paid. But it's up to us to choose where we walk. The choice is up to me and you to choose where we walk. Are we going to walk according to the Spirit of God? Are we going to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God? John chapter 15 encourages us. It says, abide in me and I in you, and you shall bear much fruit. You want to know how to walk in the Spirit? You abide in the source. Who is the source? Jesus is the source of your salvation. Jesus is the initiator. He is the one that started it and the one that will finish it. And we know that he is faithful to complete what he has begun. So now we need to say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. I know I'm getting these temptations, but I surrender these temptations to you. I'm struggling in this area of my life, but I surrender this struggle to you. I feel confused. I surrender this confusion to you, that the confusion may not manipulate my behavior. One of our issues is we do not surrender things that are not beautiful. We do not surrender the ugly things to God. Let me put it that way. We do not surrender the dirty things to God. We feel, that's why a lot of people do not come to church, because you'll hear them say, I got to fix a few things. I got to clean up my act, and then I'm going to come to church. I'll surprise you one day. But let me fix up these things. Let me get it together, and then I will come. No, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are labored and heavy laden. They're heavy laden with those sins. It's pressing them down. And they're saying, but I got to fix it before I go. He said, no, come as you are. Come with your baggage. Come with your troubles. Come with your struggles. Come with your shame. Come with your pain. Come with the brokenness. Come with all your past. And do an exchange with me. And I will give you rest. How does he give us rest? Because he paid for what you're dragging around. He paid the price so you can be released from your baggage. Amen? So I want to encourage you, church. It is time for us to walk in the Spirit. Because of time today, Pastor Sam cannot just unfold this whole thing. Pastor Sam has to go to the airport. So Pastor Sam is going to speed up a little. Is that okay? Yes. Amen. Good. Now, let's go to verse 5. Are we learning this morning? Yes. For those who live according to the flesh, what do they do? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. You got to choose the road you walk. If you're going to walk the road of the flesh, you could do anything, anyhow. Because in the kingdom, there are commandments. Their commandments we must follow. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. So you can't be over here doing whatever you want to any and who and say, I love God, but I don't care about the people. I can't go and abuse my body and use all kinds of substance knowing that God says, I am the temple of the living God. I cannot go and revel and party and dance with the devil when the Bible says, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the ways of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You can't do a double dip. There is no double dipping. You got to walk in the spirit. Because over there, remember, you were bound. You were carrying around baggages. You were oppressed. You're without joy. But over here, you're living in the spirit. And you have peace. And you have joy. Go to Galatians chapter 5. And you'll see the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. All those beautiful things. Self-control. That is walking in the spirit. So, I'm going to finish here now. So, we're not living over here, but we're over here. But those who live according to the spirit, your mind or your core is set on the things of the spirit. Read 6. For to be carnally minded is death, meaning to live over here and keeping your mind on worldly things, to be worldly minded. Jesus says we're in this world, but we're not of this world. He says, come out from among them, be what? Separate. The separate thing is a struggle for the church. I'm not telling you do not associate with unbelievers. I'm telling you go associate with all of them. Can I say that? Go associate with everybody. Who did Jesus go? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to what? Call sinners. I call what? Sinners to repentance. So go over here where the party is and say, bro, this is not doing you any good. You're breaking down your body. And you share stories. I've seen somebody on TikTok. They use fentanyl and or whatever it's called. Is that right? Fentanyl. Thank you. And they died. Don't be a statistic. There is life over here. I know people who play with liquor and they could never catch themselves. They drink, and they drink themselves to death. Don't be a statistic. Come over here. Walk in the spirit. I know you're selling your body and you're making some money. But I know some women that go and sell themselves and the men kill them. Don't be a statistic. Come over here. It is okay to get radical with the truth. It is okay to tell people the truth. The war was happening. God saw we were in need. But he sent Jesus that we can come over and walk in the spirit. Do not set your mind on carnal things. Don't imagine the pleasures of the world. Don't scroll on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, and now Threads, and X, and want what you see. There was a man called the prodigal son. He heard of a great life outside of the father's house. He had a great life, like I said. I grew up well, praise be to Jesus. But what he did, he wanted the fast life. He was in the row of the spirit, walking lockstep with his father, but he heard about riotous living and he wild living. And sometimes when we're young, and even some old people can't get over it, we want to try the wild things. Because what? The flesh wants it. The body craves it. But Paul says, I put a blow to my flesh. You know, I put a physical blow to my flesh sometimes because I just came out of 3 weeks of fasting. And sometimes I got hungry. You know what I do? I take my fist, I cough myself. I say, I put a blow to you. That's what the word said. So I take it and I put action to it. Didn't Jeremiah eat the word? He take the tear of the scroll and he ate the word. Yeah, he ate the page. He put some action because he believed it. And he ate the word. So I put a blow to my flesh. Sometimes if I say a bad word, I get so convicted. I feel like I need to take a spit. So I spit, right? Because I know that did not please God. That's not for my vessel. That's not for my vessel. So you understand? So we got to look at it. The prodigal son said, I'm going to go try this wild life. and I'm going to do it up, and I'm going to live it up. The Bible says he found a lot of friends, and he had a lot of money. But the Bible says also quickly he wasted it. And when the money was done, the friends departed. And he was stuck in the mess, and he found himself even eating the pig's food. I want to tell you today, God has bread for you. Don't eat pig food. Let us all stand. Let's walk in the Spirit of God. God took care of the war. Now it's us to walk in faith. Walk by God's grace. We will uncover this a little more, but we'll have to pause right here. We'll continue another week. Just lift your hands to the Lord. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And I want to read one scripture to you. Verse 37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him, who is him? Our Heavenly Father. Through him who loved us. I want to tell you, God loves you this morning. All this teaching was to reveal God's love to you, that you might be able to walk it out. You might be able to live it out. You might be able to live it out with boldness. I want you to talk to the Spirit of God. Say, and maybe some of you are standing in this room and you may have never surrendered to Jesus. I want to tell you, this is the day of surrender. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to lead you into a simple prayer. If you want to surrender to the Lord, you can repeat it. Believe in your heart. Believe Jesus died, buried, resurrected from the dead. I want you to surrender your life. The life walking with God is a life of surrender. You know, like someone comes with a gun, quickly you put your hands up. You know, I want you to surrender to God. Thank you, Lord. But God is not putting a gun at your head. He's knocking on your heart's door. And if you hear his voice, open up. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. I want the Spirit life. I want to live by your grace and your power. I want to walk in the Spirit. Show me how I can do this. Help me. I am weak, but you are strong. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus dealt with your struggles. Say, Lord, I thank you for saving me. Wash me with your blood. Fill me with your Spirit, that I may walk by the Spirit. Now, to those who are saved, I want to give you a charge. Say, Holy Spirit, empower me to live the life that my Heavenly Father has designed for me to live. That I might walk on the Spirit's road. I will long, I will have a Spirit appetite. This week is a Holy Ghost week. This week is an encounter week. This week, it's a transforming week. This week is an elevation, a promotion for me in the Spirit. In the Spirit, I put a blow to my flesh and I pray surrender to Jesus and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Say, thank you, Lord, for doing the work in me.